Good afternoon and welcome to Spikes 2.030. It's Wednesday the 12th of June. It's a few days after the Leland Loco run, so this podcast will be a review of that particular activity. I did have the recorder on throughout the whole run, but it made around 7 hours of recording, and when I tried to drop that into my GarageBand application, it didn't want to know. So the odd bits of recording that I have in this show from the run, really they're just to give you a flavour, because they're not very good quality. I've had to record them over a speaker and a microphone system, and it's not as I would wish it to be. So let me just play that to start with, just a few snippets from the day, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about the event in more clarity. Over to the start line.
Oh, can I take that, Lily? I think I'm going to need a comforter at some stage. 3, 2, 1. So we set off on the Leland Loco, straight downhill for the first 400 metres, and today on the run I'm joined by Stuart McKenzie, and Steve Richards, and Rob Sykes. So the four of us, and the rules of the game today are that we just run as far as we can, as far as we wish to, and if you want to take a break, you can at any stage, well, when you get to the car anyway, because you wouldn't want to take a break and just walk, I don't think. And we think we've got about 28 miles to go. The weather, is gloriously sunny, not too hot yet. We hope it doesn't heat up too much today. And as you can hear, I'm getting a bit of barracking from behind, but that'll soon fade, don't worry, the barracking will tire quite quickly. Anyway, I'm not going to keep up this prattle all day long, so you'll just hear bits and pieces as we go on. Up to the... We should be meeting Gina again within the next half a mile. So... we look forward to that. Talk again soon. Okay, we're out to 19 miles now. Continuing on steadily. Coming into the village of Queen Camel. We've just nicknamed Rob King Camel because of the fact that he's not had a wee yet, despite the copious amounts of liquid we've been taking on board. Hot part of the day now, sun is quite high, and knees are feeling a little bit achy, just generally getting tired, but just working steadily, very easy pace still. Trying to keep it within ourselves all the time. Oh, coming in this lovely little image now of a stream right beside the path. Just lovely. I just feel like I want to sit in it and rest. All these people have been enjoying themselves, like. Guys, hey! Well done, guys.
31.6. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know about your money, that's 31.
I've still gone.
Oh, okay, so.
Thank you.
Well done, guys, well done. Oh, that was hard though, that last 3 miles was hard effort. Hard for me.
So, that was a sense of the run. Sorry, the recording wasn't very good quality, but I hope it gave you a feel for part of the day, really. Let me talk you through it. I'm sitting in my sauna, just reflecting, and I've scribbled a few notes down, so I'll try and cover the areas that I think might interest you. The run, the Leland Loco. So we were following a trail or a footpath that's marked, that runs from Alfred's Tower on the edge of Wiltshire, down through Somerset, through the towns and villages of Bruton, down through Castle Carey, down to North Cadbury, then South Cadbury, across the village of Sutton Montes, then into Queen Camel, West Camel, just the edge of Yeovilton, Lymington, Ilchester, then over the ridge to Montacute, then up the hill to finish at the top of Ham Hill, which is a well-known country park just to the west of Yeovil. The route on the route plan says it's 28 miles, but we collectively clocked it at around 31 miles, 50 kilometres, just over 50 kilometres in fact. And we decided to do this run last year. Those of you who follow Spikes will know that we ran the Liberty Trail. That goes from Ham Hill to Lyme Regis. So effectively it's the carries on after the trail we ran on Saturday. And the idea was to run it as a loco event, a mojo loco event. So open to anyone, run as a social event with supporting vehicles. So you ran as much or as little as you wanted to. That's certainly how we ran the Liberty Loco, and the idea was to repeat the same with the Leland Loco. We only had four of us doing it this year, and I think one of the main reasons for that, I spoke about it I think previously, was that I didn't really get enough training in before the event, and right through the spring really I was conscious that my weekend time was very busy. I had loads of things on, and the likelihood of me getting in decent training runs was always dubious at best. And I was getting to the point of thinking, well, can I really offer to put this run on and still not be strong enough to take part in it very much myself? Anyway, I decided I'd go ahead anyway, and a couple of people from last year came along. So Stuart and Steve from last year, they'd run the Liberty and they took part this year as well. And then one of my friends, Andy, it was his daughter's wedding on Saturday. So as excuses go, that was a reasonable one that he couldn't be there. But he'd spoken to a work colleague of his called Rob Sykes, and Rob was interested in the idea, so Rob came along. And I'll speak about all of them, I guess, as I talk through the events of the day. But Rob, who'd only ever run, I think 21 miles was the longest he'd ever run in the past, and he ran the whole distance. I'd have to say, of all of us, I think he was the strongest. He looked so comfortable throughout the whole run, really. And well done to Rob. We kind of had a celebration when he broke his 21 mile barrier. We had another small celebration when he completed his first marathon. And then we celebrated, of course, at the finish line. Steve had a good run. He ran the whole distance as well. In fact, he looked very comfortable throughout the whole run too, really. It was just immediately after the run, he became very nauseous and unwell, and really struggled to just feel comfortable at all for a few hours afterwards. So much so that rather than putting him on the train, which was the original plan, his wife Caroline and daughter Lily, who you heard about at the start, they brought him down to the start of the race. But we decided that putting him on a train to send him home wasn't the best thing, and he was readily convinced that just coming to mine and Gina's house and crashing out for the night was probably the best thing. And certainly by the following morning he was fully recovered. So whatever it was, too little fluid, too much fluid, wrong salt balance, whatever, something definitely caused him to feel unwell at the end. And Stuart did a good run too. Stuart is a strong runner. I think I'm not sure he believes in his own ability sometimes. Maybe I think at the 16 mile point, for some reason, Rob and I had quite an easy flowing period up a hill there, and I think we should have walked it really, because I think it made Stuart think he was suffering more than he wanted to at that particular point. So anyway, Stu took a break at 16 miles and he rejoined us for the last 8 miles or so. So yeah, he ran 24 miles of the whole distance, cracking effort, and he enjoyed it too. So he'd been dropped off in the morning by his wife Chloe and daughter Robin, and they came to the pub at the end and met us and had a drink and something to eat with us. So that was all good fun. It had a great feel to the day. Anyway, so that was the crew. Gina, of course, in support as ever, helping us out, being in the car. Every 4 miles or so, we'd come round a corner and there she'd be. Well, I knew where she was going to be, but the others, it was always a nice surprise for them to see the car waiting for us. And then just towards the end, we kind of concertinaed the drop-offs up a little bit. And so I think from Yeovilton Weir, we then every couple of miles, we placed the car every two and a half miles, just to give people the kind of lift they needed for those last few miles, which were uphill and a bit of an effort, as you heard me say. Certainly an effort for me, that's for sure. The route itself, undulating, middle section quite flat. I'd say the middle 8 miles were fairly flat. But there were hills and climbs. Nothing hugely dramatic. Even Ham Hill isn't a dramatic climb. But it's a bit of a flog at the end of the day. Parts of it were overgrown. We had one particular climb just towards the end. That was hard work, bashing through nettles and brambles. The path isn't brilliantly maintained. Having said that, we got to the last support stop with Gina, and I told the guys that we had about a quarter mile run down a roadway, and then we had to do a last bit of footpath that was overgrown, because I'd run it just a few days before and I knew it was overgrown and nettly. I said, well, once we're through that, we're done. And we got to this little, it was only about 200 or 300 metres of footpath, and somebody had strimmed it and cleared it, bushwhacked it, whatever your phrase you wish to use. And it was clear of nettles and everything. It was such a lift, such a delight to find it had been taken care of. But most of it was on readily run paths, some fields. Occasionally the fields had some quite long hay or grass in them, and that was a bit of an effort to run over, just lifting your feet up a bit more, but okay. I mentioned there in my kind of introductory remarks, recordings of the day, that it was a bit warm. Actually about 22 degrees centigrade, and yeah, it wasn't desperately hot, but the sun was warm enough, and it was constant all day long. I got a little bit of sunburn where I missed with the sun cream, but nothing too serious. And we did have that northeast wind, which meant it blew into our backs or into our shoulder at most of the run. And that was just cooling. I mean, it would have been more cooling into our faces, I suppose, but it was nice to have it pushing into our backs really as well. Having said it was warm, I certainly found I didn't sweat very much. Even when I got to the end, my shorts were barely wet, you know, and I was drinking a lot of water. I reckon I'd drunk a good 2.5 litres of water over the run. Certainly that. We'd had these 2-litre containers in a cool box. And although I didn't drink between stops, at every stop I took on quite a lot of water. Maybe that wasn't the best tactic, because I have to say at the end, I felt a little bit nauseous. And I'll come back to that, tell you the full story of that in a minute. Full story of me feeling sick. How about that? Anyway, so yeah, we were just fairly comfortable during the day. It was a nice day. It was last year, last June, when we did the Liberty Loco. It was raining and windy and squally, and really, I mean, it was only the company that made it pleasant. This year, the company was pleasant, but also we had some good weather too. I must just mention the supplies that we had, because as I say, Gina was there with the car. We had water. People were bringing on their own liquid additives as well. But food-wise, I prepared some of the boiled potatoes with salt and oil on them. And I put in a bag of figs and some bananas. And Stuart, he brought along some fantastic homemade flapjacks that he'd made. And Steve, his wife Caroline, had made some lovely, lovely peanut butter crackers. Not crackers, what am I saying? Cookies. That's what the word I meant to say. Peanut butter cookies. And Rob, well, I don't know what his wife was thinking. She sent him along with enough food to last us for a week, I think. He got all sorts of things in his bag. And of course, as always, we shared the stuff around. They're all great, and it was really lovely. In fact, I think it was a bit of an eat-a-thon at times. We took on probably more food than we really needed to. But anyway, kept us going, kept us happy. Although I have to say that, again, Yeovilton Weir features in this report many times. Probably the most picturesque stop. We've got this lovely water flowing over a weir and the sound of the rushing water, and it's in the shade of trees. It was just a lovely place to take a break. But at that point, Rob offered me a bite of his whey bar. And it was chocolate covered and it looked appetising. And I said, oh yeah, I just fancy a bite of that, Rob. So I took a bite, and it was only a bite, you know, it wasn't half the bar. But gosh, was it chewy. I reckon for the next mile I was chewing that wretched whey bar. Anyway, it was very kind of him, and I'm grateful to Rob. Thanks a lot, Rob. We didn't see many other people on the run, just people out and about, a few horses and people out just enjoying the day. But I think we didn't see any other runners or indeed any other walkers on the route, which was quite surprising. And as I said, it's not brilliantly well kept up. You know, there are places where it's quite overgrown. And fortunately, I surveyed the first 8 miles and I knew the last 10 or 12 miles pretty well. You know, Rob had surveyed the middle bit too. In fact, done a bit that I didn't know particularly well. And so it ended up there was only about 4 miles, I guess. Less than that, 3 miles that we hadn't done, neither of us had surveyed. And we found our way through that. But a couple of places the vegetation had become overgrown, lots of nettles, hard to find our way through, and it was certainly quite an effort. But we did it, of course we did it. It wasn't that difficult, you know, we bashed on. It was good fun. And then we had that last climb. Now by about mile 28, that's when I started to suffer a bit myself. I was just getting to the point where my legs were starting to cramp up, getting a little bit of cramp in my calves, and we were running on some twisty turny ground with roots and rocks, and stretching my feet made my arches cramp quite badly in my feet. So that was not the most pleasant of the run, and I began to feel nauseous, so much so that, you know, by the time we actually got to the end, you heard us finish there on the recording earlier, but I didn't feel too celebratory at that point. In fact, I walked about 100 metres to the pub where Gina was waiting, and we were planning to make our time to cool down, have refreshment, drink and food. And I had told all the guys at this pub, it's the Prince of Wales on Ham Hill, has a very good range of beers, real ales, and I do like my beer. And Rob, very kindly, he was feeling very sprightly at this stage, and he said he'd get the round in. And we all ordered, and I have a pint of beer, a good, decent bitter. And out he came with a pint of Doombar for me. Now, Doombar is it's a real ale that's made down in Cornwall by Sharp's Brewery. Quite a popular beer now, I'd have to say, but a good ale. When he brought it to me and I was sat there outside the pub, just in some shade, cooling down, I have to tell you, my head was wrapped in a damp towel and I was feeling as sick as a dog. Really just wasn't feeling any good at all. The thought of eating food was the furthest thing from my mind, and frankly, even a glass of beer wasn't really very appealing. But after a couple of minutes, I thought, well, I've been looking forward to this beer for so long, I'm going to have a mouthful of it anyway. So I gingerly took a sip, and probably that turned into a bit of a gulp, and I suddenly found I drank about a quarter of a pint. I just put the glass back down again, and thought, oh well, we'll see how that goes. Do you know, within about a minute, I felt utterly better, quite restored, and by the time I'd finished that first pint of Doombar, I was the one saying, well, I'll get the menus, and You know, I went into the pub. Went to the pub rather stiffly, but got another couple of beers in and found the menus, and we ordered some very good food. Poor old Steve, as I said earlier, by this point he'd gone into a bit of a trough, and yeah, he wasn't feeling too good at all. So much so he couldn't even finish his pint of Doombar, which is a real shame. But it seemed to have some mystical powers for me that day. Things I learned particularly. Okay, I think, you know, I tried to do this run a bit on memory. I didn't really have enough training in me, not enough long distance runs. And so although I was comfortable for 28 miles, the last three were an effort. And I kind of felt I held the other guys back a bit at that stage. I think one of the problems I had was that I've just not, typical of me really, I haven't, didn't focus on my core strength enough. Last year, you know, I did quite a lot of upper body work and core strength. And for some reason, I've just, since Christmas, it's just drifted off again. You know, I know that this is a fault that many of us have. We run. Running is the thing we do and we take greatest joy from, but it's the other things around the edges. I should have done more core work. And I say that because I really felt by about the halfway point, my ability to work my suspension, if you will, had gone really. And I was just grinding it out at that point. I wasn't feeling free and floating particularly. If you could ever describe my running as free and floating. But I do think, you know, a bit of core strength. In fact, what I've said to myself is that from now on, every day has to have some element of core work in it. I'm not looking to do major amounts, but just something each day, just to get into the habit of it. Then I think it'll be of good service to me for the next time. Oh, and there I said it, the next time. At one stage in the run on Saturday, I did say, to say to the collected people there, if I mention anything about this next year, just shoot me. But of course, within a few days, the pain recedes. One starts to run more freely again. And the thoughts come about next year. Now, next year actually could be quite an interesting event because I think experience now of the last 2 years is that June is just a little bit too late. The weather in our country now is so unpredictable that whether we do it in February, April, June, or August, or October, the weather could be anything. It could be snow, it could be rain, it could be wind, it could be sun, it could be a heat wave, it could be hailstones. I feel like we've had almost all of those in the last 2 years we've been running. So I don't think it really matters in terms of when we do it for the weather we might expect. And clearly the paths become rapidly overgrown by June. It was a week earlier this year than last year. It made not a jot of difference in terms of the overgrown nature of the path. So I'm thinking, if we were to do it next year, it should be in May. And it should be in early May. And it should be a Saturday in early May. And my 60th birthday is Saturday, the 3rd of May. Now, there's a certain elegance coming around this thought, isn't there? How about I celebrate my birthday by running 50k? How about next year we do the Liberty Trail again? Because I have to say there is a certain appeal to that last run, that last bit of the Liberty Loco where you run down through Lyme Regis onto the seafront. That has a great delight. And I think, you know, Gina and I have already sort of thought, well, if we do that, we need to go and survey the town a bit better, town of Lyme Regis, just so we know where we could go and have a decent glass of beer, perhaps Doombar, and something to eat that would be enjoyable for everybody. And, you know, maybe make it a bit of a party. How about that? So there we go. There's a stake in the ground. May the 3rd, 2014. Liberty Loco 2. celebrate 60 years on this planet with me. Ha ha. Well, if you fancy the idea, let me know. I think, you know, if we get enough numbers, we'll happily get a minibus as we did the first year. We can still get kind of 12, comfortably seat 12 in a minibus and still have room for luggage. So let's say, you know, we'll up to 12 runners at this stage. That's what we'll plan for, up to 12. If it's only 4 like this year, that'll be fine, but up to 12. If you'd like to put an early stake in the ground and say you want to join me, why don't you just send me an email? Send it to spikespodcast@gmail.com or tweet me at spikespodcast on Twitter. And of course, I have friends on Daily Mile. You know me on there already. I use Facebook as well, but I don't use it very much. I tend to just use it as a forward feed from Twitter, really, and just see what other people are doing. So there we go. The date is May the 3rd, 2014. And of course, it's the day before May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. There, what a weekend we could make of that. Okay then, folks. Well, I suppose really that's the review of this year's Leland Loco. A great event. Thanks again to Gina, first of all, for helping us and making the day possible. Because without that, it would have just been, you know, we'd have had to carry all our supplies. It wouldn't have been the run it was, the social event that it was. Thanks to Steve and Stuart and Rob for joining me and just making it good fun and everything that I wanted it to be. And I guess I'm going to finish off with a thought. Stuart had a brilliant T-shirt. I think it's a Nike one, and it's kind of got a mouth, and the tongue coming out of this mouth is the sole of a pair of running shoes with spikes on. And he said it was his unofficial Spikes Podcast T-shirt. I thought it was cracking, and I really, really liked it. And then it got me to thinking, well, actually, I haven't explained on the podcast the origin of the name for a long, long time now. And some people may wonder, why did I call it Spikes when it's, you know, I haven't personally worn a pair of spikes for at least 15 years. And when I did wear them, you know, for the vast majority of my running lifetime, they were only for cross-country runs. You know, track spikes, something I very, very rarely wore in my life. I'm not really not a track runner. I'm not fast enough for that, really. But anyway, spikes. Well, it came to me. And I apologise to those who've heard this before, but just to reiterate for anybody new, when I decided that I would create a running podcast at the behest of Steve Runner and others, I thought, well, what shall I call it? And I just pondered the thought for a while, and I had the notion that I wanted to do 4 things, really, which was to inspire people, to give them things to aspire to and to hear about their aspirations, to conspire with people so that we learn and really, you know, share stuff with each other, and then to perspire together through our running and our activities. And then out of that became a 5th spire, really, which was to transpire, which was to come into knowledge, really, things that we've learned about from each other. So that was my spires, my 5 spires. But talking about the spires podcast didn't seem quite right. And then I thought, well, a spire is, it's a bit like a spike, really. And that's where the name came from, because I thought about spikes and I thought about running spikes. Simple as that, simple or as complex as you want to make it, really. But that's why this podcast has always been known as Spikes. And it mutated from Spikes into Spikes 2.0 when Apple stopped making available their iWeb facility, which was excellent. Really enjoyed it. But anyway, I'm very happily using the Jellycast system now to get my podcasts up onto iTunes. And I hope that can continue into the future. So, folks, that's largely it, except just to mention, talking about my 60th birthday coming up, it's another anniversary, is next week. next week on the 14th is the 2-year anniversary of me recording this particular podcast. 2 years already, and some 80 episodes. Well, there we go. Okay then, well, that's it from me. I'm sitting in my sauna. I'm enjoying the recovery from the Leland Loco. I'm feeling pretty good, actually. Sunday and Monday, the runs were a little bit stiff. Tuesday and today, they felt a little bit easier. Tempted to run a long way and kind of go on to the forward momentum, really, of running such a long run on Saturday. But I know that if I do that, I run the risk of injury because it's just upping my mileage too quickly. So a steady build-up. But I very much plan next year to be a little bit stronger going into the Liberty Loco with, I hope, many of you coming along. Certainly, if not in person, at least joining me on my podcast. Okay then, folks, as ever, I'm going to invite you and me to run with joy.